World War II wasn't just another historical event, it was the crucible that forged modern America. Through dozens of intimate testimonies, we discover how this global conflict transformed not just nations, but individual souls. What makes these stories so compelling is how they challenge the very notion of a good war while honoring the sacrifices of those who fought. The war's moral complexity emerges through voices that speak with unflinching honesty about both heroism and horror. These aren't sanitized Hollywood narratives, but raw, sometimes contradictory accounts from people who lived through history's most devastating conflict. Their collective memory reveals something profound: how a nation defined itself through both triumph and trauma. December 7, 1941 shattered America's security overnight. 16-year-old John Garcia initially mistook Pearl Harbor's explosions for drills until seeing anti-aircraft fire across the harbor. Finding his ship ablaze, he refused orders to fight fires near ammunition magazines, instead spending the day rescuing sailors from the water. The mainland erupted in panic. San Francisco residents broke streetlights during impromptu blackouts, while false rumors spread of Japanese attacks on the Golden Gate Bridge. For Japanese Americans like Peter Ota, Pearl Harbor began a dark chapter of forced relocation to converted stables and desolate camps where they ironically talked about freedom all the time. Combat quickly destroyed patriotic illusions. Robert Rasmus, a former mama's boy, found himself carrying his sergeant's mutilated body after his first battle. Seeing dead German soldiers in daylight, he realized these were no longer an abstraction. They were exactly our age. The Pacific Theater proved especially brutal. E.B. Sledgehammer Sledge watched as American troops began collecting gold teeth from Japanese corpses. Yet humanity persisted. When Sledge prepared to do the same, a Navy medic intervened, preventing his moral descent. While men fought overseas, American society transformed dramatically. For women, war work provided unexpected liberation. Peggy Terry earned $90 testing airplane radios, where immigrant co-workers introduced her to union consciousness. Even after the war, women's newfound independence persisted. Black Americans saw modest gains. Sarah Killingsworth moved from Tennessee to Los Angeles, advancing from a $20 per week maid position to earning $40 at Douglas Aircraft. The war improved racial conditions in Los Angeles, which had previously mirrored Southern segregation. Not all changes were positive. Deli Han, caught in patriotic fervor, hastily married a soldier after just 6 weekends together. Following him to military bases revealed war's unglamorous reality. Overcrowded trains, hostility toward military wives, and widespread disillusionment. Her marriage to a uniform ended in divorce and hardship. The war transformed civilians overnight. Frank Keegan, 16 at Pearl Harbor, initially patrolled California with friends against expected invasion. Later, serving on Liberty ships, he witnessed wartime manufacturing's imperfections. At news of Hiroshima, his response was simply, "Thank God that's over." The war profoundly reshaped American communities. In Mike Royko's Polish neighborhood, flagpoles listed local casualties, while social codes tightly regulated behavior. Women with deployed husbands faced intense scrutiny, with one pregnant woman becoming an outcast. For ethnic communities, the transformation was complex. Paul Pisacano recalls his Italian-speaking New York neighborhood shift from revering Mussolini to rapid post-war assimilation. Through the GI Bill, Italian Americans moved to suburbs and entered professions, but Pisacano mourns the loss of cultural traditions in their pursuit of mainstream acceptance. The war highlighted America's racial divide. Black real estate broker Dempsey Travis experienced brutal segregation in the military, facing violence from white soldiers and witnessing German POWs receive better treatment than black Americans. Nevertheless, Travis leveraged the GI Bill to advance his education, calling his service years transformative. The war transformed America from depression-ravaged nation to industrial powerhouse. Sleepy towns like Seneca, Illinois, became manufacturing centers, producing 157 landing ships between 1942-1945. As one resident noted, everything started opening up for us. For businesses, wartime conditions created unprecedented prosperity. Lee Oramont, who became a supermarket partner in 1942, saw his business grow from $65,000 net worth to $100,000 profit in the first year as defense workers spent freely. Even shortages became opportunities. 500 cases of poor quality canned pears sold out in a day. As Oramont put it, it didn't take a genius to make money during the war. All you had to do was open a store and not get dead drunk. The Roosevelt administration shifted from New Deal reforms to war production, with FDR telling advisor Tommy Corcoran to cut out this New Deal stuff. Roosevelt redirected funds to military production and brought in business leaders, mostly Republicans, to run industry. Through price controls, the government successfully managed inflation, unlike during WI1 and Vietnam. Joe Hanley's war trauma centered on losing his friend Kevin during the climb to Climac. Initially joking about Kevin's miracle wound from German artillery, Joe watched him die in his arms. The experience transformed him from a quiet artist into someone who lived on cognac, with December 15th haunting him annually as he questioned his own survival. The atomic bomb's development marked a pivotal darkness. Philip Morrison, who helped design the plutonium core and loaded the Nagasaki bomb, experienced the Trinity test with mixed emotions of awe and wonder and dismay. The military strategy was to drop both bombs quickly, suggesting an endless supply. Morrison noted the bomb's significance lay not in its destruction, but its efficiency. One plane could now accomplish what once required hundreds. Many Manhattan Project workers, like Marnie Seymour at Oak Ridge, remained unaware of their project's true nature until after Hiroshima. Their pride turned to horror as consequences emerged. Among 18 couples from their motel, most became infertile, while Seymour's 2 of 4 children had birth defects. Cancer later plagued many atomic test witnesses. The title, The Good War, appears in quotation marks deliberately. Veterans' accounts reveal a complex duality. They believed in defeating fascism while grappling with combat's moral costs. Admiral Jean Larocque, after 4 years in the Pacific, came to view war as a miserable, ugly business. He critiques America's post-war militarization through the 1947 National Security Act, noting how the military began driving foreign policy, using force 215 times since World War II. The war's moral complexities affected civilians, too. Nancy Arnott Hargen watched their Japanese employee Mei being sent to what Mei called a concentration camp, challenging her teenage idealism about America. Father George Zabelka, chaplain for the atomic bomb group, initially felt relief at the war's end, but later experienced moral awakening after witnessing radiation's effects on Japanese civilians. Herman Kogan, a Marine combat correspondent, embodied these contradictions. Though often afraid, he found purpose documenting the war alongside young soldiers. His conclusion remained stark. No matter how just a war it was war. It never was a solution to anything. Fuck war.